And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Lucy Potter. Today on the show, Rosie Wilby.
Friend of the show and award-winning comedian. She'll be talking to us live.
And the Irish abortion vote.
You asked us to discuss it, so we'll be talking about how our community helped.
All coming today.
Right here on Shout Out. Hello everyone.
Hello.
It's quite packed in here today, isn't it?
It is.
So that was a very polished opening there, I thought. Especially considering you ran through the door like 30 seconds before we went
away. Yeah, I can't even blame Bristol traffic either. It was clear all the way down.
Oh,
I was just late. Sorry. Yeah. But hey, here we are. I'm ready to go. Don't worry about me.
Yes, I'm the new brand new, shiny Mrs. Potter.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So was it a nice ceremony?
It was very nice.
So we ought to explain. Lucy got married.
I got married.
In case you're wondering what we're talking about.
Yeah, women can do that now.
I know, yeah.
Not just to men.
Yeah, no.
It's the whole thing.
In fact, in Bristol, it was women first, I think, because it was Mary and Georgina were the first ever.
No way. Yeah? Really? Yeah. Oh, wow. I feel humbled. So I'm an honest woman. So
marvellous. Have you got a ring?
Oh, we have, lovely.
That doesn't work very well for me.
No, it doesn't work very well.
Yes.
No, I wanted to see.
Yes,
so.
I have a ring.
Yes,
it is on the forefinger of my left hand.
Yes, with the writing in.
Yes. So yeah,
has writing in it.
It has.
We got it engraved. It was all good.
It just looks just like the lettering from the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it does, but it doesn't actually
does it
say anything in ancient Elvish.
Oh,
about
doesn't
that.
It?
No, sorry, not, sorry about that.
Not this love forever.
No. No. So please, no one go trying and throwing it into the fires of Mordor, please. We've tried a lot to get this ring.
The Eye of Sandor is watching.
Mitch, you do that ever so well.
That was quite good.
Yes. The breast of Lesbos is for you.
That's not quite how it happened, but yeah. It's a bit more boring than that.
Well, have you seen it? It's like thunder and lightning tonight as well, again.
Yeah.
Did you see the storm at the weekend?
Yes.
I don't know if it was the same up here. I was actually down in Southampton, and we literally watched the sky light from one side of your view to the other,
yes.
And it went on for ages. It was absolutely amazing.
There was quite a lot on, was it Sunday morning?
Yeah.
I think it was quite a lot. Yeah.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, a lot of thunder and lightning here as well.
Yeah, all caused by gays.
Yeah, oh, yes, of course. It's always us.
Part of our secret weaponry.
Yeah.
They were just practicing.
Yeah.
So
do you know do you know the effect that we've had with this thunderstorm that we're causing tonight? We made all the trains go slow. They've announced that all the railways across the southwest are going to have speed restrictions. So sorry if you're on a train.
Because of the gays.
Because of the thunderstorms.
Oh, right,
but the thunderstorms
okay.
are caused by the gays.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We are
sorry,
evil.
And the lesbians too. Won't leave you out, Mitch.
Thanks.
The gays and the lesbians. Yeah.
Especially with that voice, you do actually sound like you might have actually caused a thunderstorm.
I can change the weather. I am a weather witch.
So, anyway, today on the show, we're going to be talking to Rosie Wilby coming up in a bit.
Ooh,
who is she's a very good friend of ours, actually. We've kind of known her since the beginning of Shout Out, haven't
we? Very supportive, yes.
So, because she does an awful lot more because she's also a comedian and the like, but she effectively does my role with Shout Out, but she does that on Resonance FM in
London.
Yeah.
104.4.
Yeah.
Indeed, yeah.
But yeah, we're going to be talking to her about her new book, which is called, what was it called, Steph?
Is The End of Monogamy.
That's it.
End of Monogamy. Yes.
Is it the end of monogamy? So yeah, that should be
interesting. Is monogamy dead?
Yes.
Yes. And we were also going to be talking about the recent stuff that's been going on in the Republic of Ireland as well, aren't
yes.
we?
Yes. Yeah.
So,
very good.
Voted as our mag show, news mag topic.
News mag topic. Absolutely.
Yes.
And we have regular news, of course.
Yes, yeah, lots of news on the show today.
So. Yeah, very current affairs based.
So. Anyway, but it's the time of the month when we get Steph to give us some events.
Yes, it is.
It is. Are you ready? Have you got your glasses on?
She's just getting them settled on her nose. Yes. She's just getting ready.
She's got all her devices.
Have I got a jingle or do I come it?
No. Not those devices, no, Mitch. She's just got her phone. Oh, that's all she's
sorry
got.
Sorry for sharing. I overshared then. Sorry about that.
Yes. Yeah, we did have a few comments about us talking about the dog show last week, the Pride dog show, when we were talking about the fact that you can also bring photos of your pussies if you wanted to. Do you remember?
That's true. Yeah.
But that caused rather a lot of emails to come in.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Did people against taking your cat to a dog show?
It is confusing. It would confuse dogs.
Yes.
They wouldn't know.
Yes. Yeah, but explained.
I think LGBT people are generally, you know, animal lovers, aren't they? Mm. Really, that sounds wrong, doesn't it? But you know what I mean. We like pets. Yes. We're into animal rights, things like that. So I mean, it's only natural that lots and lots of people have dogs and cats.
We love loads of people.
I wouldn't bring my cat. Cats like staying where they live. They don't like going out. They like their place, don't they?
Well, it depends. You often see people
walking their cats
with little leads, and I'm not quite sure
anyone walking a cat.
I'm not sure if our cat would do that.
No.
I tried it once and it didn't work.
Well then.
I didn't even know you had a cat.
No, we don't know, but we do. We got doggies now.
Yes.
Yes, the pussies have gone.
Yes. Anyway, on that topic.
Yes.
Not talk about that topic. Let's do some events. Out Shout, our pick of the best events coming up over, the next month or so? Is that what we're doing?
For June. Yeah. You need to shorten that jingle. I could have finished events by the time that finished.
Oh, no.
Not a lot's happening in June. Is that what you're saying, Steph?
Or do you just not need a big intro anymore?
No, I can
see you liked
your
big intro.
I think it prepares
I'll
people.
Bring my own.
It's okay.
I'll bring my own orchestra.
Anyway, what events are we talking about?
This Saturday, 2nd of June, if you're near London or you don't mind driving 110 miles up to the Smook, there's the Big Gay Iftar. It's the longest running LGBTQ Muslim organisation. Allies are welcome. So they got some photographs of the food from last year. That looks really tempting.
So could you just explain for me, because I'm going to be ignorant of Islam practices now. So is an iftar, is it...
It's the meal when you break the fast of Ramadan.
Is it the complete... No, because that's Eid. It's just the evening fast.
It's when you break your evening fast at sundown, it's called iftar.
Thanks for explaining that for me. I am... not very
now you're
knowledgeable
educated.
About stuff like that, but so that's going on up in London, is it?
Look fantastic.
Tickets are available on Eventbrite.
Okay, brilliant. Okay. Has it got any sort of time? I'm going to be really obvious. What time does it start?
All the
in
information
the evening, probably,
you need.
When
so
it's dark.
If you go on to
sundown,
all
thank
you.
You
need to do is follow Iman LGBTQ on Twitter. It's IMAAN LGBTQ. So if you follow them, all the information is there and the links to Eventbrite.
Great stuff. Thanks, Steph. Anything
but it
else?
Is this Saturday. Absolutely.
Okay.
Closer to home is Zion's free all-day birthday party. That's Saturday the 9th of June between 10 and 10. 12 hours of party celebrations. Whoa.
Epic.
Yeah. They're celebrating their 7th birthday. A free entry. Family, friends, the cafe bar will be open all day. It's going to be butties, cake, kids craft, Lego. Anyone love Lego?
Yeah.
Get
I
along.
Love Lego.
Okay, Ant is on his way. And messy play, whatever that is.
It's for the kids.
I think it's things
Steph.
Like food, isn't it?
Yeah. James
like
Boyd,
paint and stuff.
It's water.
Yeah?
Water.
Oh, okay. James Boy Records will be here selling vinyl. I guess around things that you put on record decks to play, not the stuff you wear.
What, for the hit parade for Terry?
The hit parade, yeah.
On the wireless.
On the wireless. That doesn't mean Wi-Fi.
Classic reggae at 12 p.m. till 2. There's hip-hop, Mexican brunch. They'll be spinning the best UK transatlantic hip-hop tunes alongside burritos, Mexican tacos. Yes, I'm liking that one. From 2, it's cream cakes, strawberries and cream.
Good summer food.
Afternoon tea.
Loving it.
Loving that.
Mm-hmm.
From 3, drumming with Troy Ellis. 5, local band, an open mic slot. And open, Mike's usually shut, I guess, is he? from six.
She is. Throwaway.
A game today.
Rosie, you need to take note and write that one down.
Rosie.
No.
Forget
no.
it.
And then from 7 to 8, you've got the Nightlarks Live. And from 9 to 10, the Funkensteins.
Funkensteins. Yeah, we've had them on the show before. Yeah. Funkensteins.
On the 9th of June, an evening with Fanny Burns. This is the build-up for Western Pride. This is between 8 and 2 o'clock in the morning at the Tropicana Western Supermare. Tickets are available at universe.com. Moving swiftly on, we've got Indigo. That's on the 21st of June. And that's they're presenting Bristol City poet Vanessa Kizul. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Writer, performer, burlesque artist, and general empress of blank. Vanessa's won over 10 Poetry Slam titles, including the Norwegian Poetry Slam in New York. Yes, so that is on 21st of June. And don't forget, we've got the Prides coming up. And also, have a look at Barcelona Pride. Still time to get your tickets for that one.
Didn't Birmingham have their Pride recently?
Yes, just
they
weekend,
did, just
gone.
Yes, they did. Yeah.
Did you go?
Massive hit.
No, I didn't go. Oh. I just saw it. On
it does actually, an awful lot of people from Bristol do go up to Birmingham, especially for Pride. And there's a various
other. Well, it's not pronounced Birmingham, is it? It's Birmingham.
Yes, Steph, that's exactly how they sound. Birmingham?
You sound like a native of that region, yes. You know.
If we get complaints now from Birmingham, you're going to be in trouble. You do know that.
Ha ha, Jim Ladd.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. You can do Bristolian because you are Bristolian.
Okay.
Aren't you? How many T's has Shout Out got in it, Steph?
There's R's.
She does them as D's, don't you?
R's,
shout out.
R's and L's.
How do you say shout out?
Shout out.
See?
Not shout out.
Cool. Is that everything?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. Would you like your big ending then?
Oh, go on then.
Bye, Steph.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Right, she should be listening, cooking her dinner right now, but seeing as this song is called Out of Control, it seems quite fitting. This is especially for Simon.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Out of Control. I can't like that one. It doesn't get the Steph vote.
No, that's not going to be played on H&H. I'm sorry.
I thought it was kind of a fun summary one. It's...
Yeah, that sounds like your style, Steph.
It does.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought so. Yeah.
Steph is shaking her head at our terrible music knowledge. She's like, you two, honestly. Sorry.
I think it's too modern for
Steph. You've got a good one coming up, though. Ooh. Seventh Heaven Remix, is it not?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Steps. Yeah, Steps. Hang on, what's it called? Scared of the Dark.
There you go.
Their latest hit.
Steps.
So,
is that the Steps?
Yeah, the Steps.
Oh, they're back
the
together.
Only, the one, the only, indeed. Terry. Indeed.
I don't know if they are back together, but yeah, they certainly released another song and they've done another tour and all of that. So,
wow.
Yeah. So
like now 25 again.
I liked that one.
You liked that one, did you? Yeah, I liked that one too. But then I suppose I'm a bit biased. I picked it so. Anyway, moving swiftly on, I'm very pleased to say, live on the end of the phone is a very good friend of the show who we haven't spoke to in ages, have we, Rosie?
No, we haven't. Hello.
It's been, I can't remember actually. It's got to be a good few years since we last caught up with you.
Yeah, when I was gigging in Bristol, probably when I was doing a few gigs for What the Frock.
A few years
ago, yes. I don't know if you remember those gigs.
Yeah, no, I do. I remember them
very
well.
She does them occasionally. But, that used to be quite a regular fixture, a female comedy night in Bristol, which was always good fun.
So, cool. And you're still doing your show on Resonance FM as well, I believe?
Yes, although we've now gone into partnership with Diva Magazine.
Right.
So the show that I present... has now become Radio Diva, and I have a fabulous co-host who will be known to many, many lesbians. It's Heather Peace,
amazing.
The actress and musician. So, yes, I get to sit next to Heather Peace every Tuesday, which I'm sure a lot of women would be
there
very
there might be a few jealous people listening at the moment, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm a married woman, so no.
So we have some fun on the show.
And
people can listen to it on Resonance FM, online, wherever around the world. So yes, it'd be lovely if people tuned in or caught up with us on Listen Again.
Cool. Now, are you still doing the kind of comedy gigs that you were doing before? Because I know we're going to talk to you about a book in a minute, but it is based on your show, isn't it, the book?
Yeah. Well, yes, that's right. Yes, I mean, I've always been someone who enjoys doing lots of different things and sort of works across different platforms and media. So I've obviously always done a radio show as well as doing comedy and performing, and bits and pieces of writing, articles and blogs and podcasts and all of this kind of stuff. But yes, I'm still doing comedy gigs, although last year a lot of my energies were taken up with writing a book and getting that out into the world. It was published in August, the same day I launched my Edinburgh Fringe show last summer, and that's been going really, really well. So I've been doing a lot of sort of literary festivals and literary salons and literary nights where perhaps, you know, I do something slightly different to what I would do at a kind of stand-up comedy night, even though, you know, I'm still trying to get laughs and be funny. But, you know, perhaps you can throw in some more thoughtful, interesting stuff. And I suppose what I'm presenting at the moment at a lot of festivals and events is a sort of hybrid talk slash comedy show with a bit of a discussion at the
right end.
So it's kind of thoughts and ideas presented in a really funny, accessible way, and always through a very personal lens with me. And the book kind of followed a trilogy of solo shows about love and relationships and the psychology behind how we behave.
So we ought to really say what the name of the book is, shouldn't we? It's called Is Monogamy Dead?
It is indeed. And so for that was the sort of middle part of my trilogy of comedy shows. And for research for that book, for that comedy show that now lends itself the book title, I did a survey asking what counts as cheating, because I thought actually this kind of idea of monogamy seemed, there seemed to be a huge assumption about what it meant. And actually I was starting to realize that in many of my friends' relationships, it might actually mean slightly different things to different people. And I thought it's not actually this universal concept. It's not a sort of one size fits all. And I kind of thought it needed investigating in this sort of modern era, particularly now that we have dating apps and we have so much choice. And, you know, I kind of noticed a lot of my friends were actually not sort of lifelong monogamous in the way that our parents might have been, but were perhaps more serially monogamous. And I started to do a lot of research. And it's particularly interesting for our community because historically, lesbians have tended towards being more serially monogamous than any group, whereas gay men, in many cases, have very successfully adopted an open relationship model where there is a primary partnership, but there may be some kind of flexibility and fluidity about the sort of rules of fidelity around that. And actually for gay men that has worked incredibly well because gay men have the lowest divorce rates of all.
Oh, do we? So I didn't know that.
I'll
take that as a compliment.
so gay men are really good at staying together, whereas lesbians are always breaking up. But you know, there's lots of stuff we've done well over the years as well. Actually,
we should point out not all lesbians break up. There are a lot of lesbian couples that are very, very happy out there. Especially considering Lucy, who sat next to me, has just got married. I think we ought to clarify.
I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful. I'm still, still fresh into it.
No, but just sort of looking at statistics and looking at it in a cold and clinical way. That sort of has been a pattern, but actually gay women have done certain things very well, like staying friends with exes and the kind of conscious uncoupling, if you like, that Gwyneth Paltrow has now made a famous phrase everywhere. But I would say that women were maybe doing that sort of many, many, many decades before, because it's a small community and you kind of had to stay friends with exes.
So, Rosie, I was just wondering, do you find when your book is Monogamy Dead, I take it, are you addressing everybody or are you focusing mainly on the LGBT community? And if you are addressing everybody, are you finding any of those patterns that were in the LGBT community are carrying across into the more sort of cis heterosexual world?
Well, I think what's interesting is that you do see the queer community kind of pioneering a lot of relationship models that then catch on in the wider world. Things like living apart together were actually sort of pioneered in the LGBT world, really, and things like experimenting around definitions of family and people sort of thinking of friends as family is a sort of kind of a sort of gay concept from many, many years ago. And the writer Armistead Maupin talks about logical family rather than biological family. And some of these ideas are now kind of being adopted in the wider world. But it's quite interesting how sometimes some of the kind of really creative ideas about how we define love, relationships, friendship, family have originated with us.
Have you found that it's kind of like sparked off lots of conversation with other people? I mean, because the book's been mentioned on all kinds of things like TEDx talks and the Radio 4's For Thought piece, I believe.
Yeah.
And you know, has it suddenly, when people get hold of it and they have a read, does it suddenly spark off lots of conversations, have you found?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Like I say, I often do these talks like the one that I'm coming to Bristol to do on June the 11th. And I do a lot of them for a company called Funzing, and they've been selling out and doing really well in London. So I'm hoping that the first one in Bristol goes really, really well a week on Monday. And there's always plenty of time. I do about a 45, 50-minute talk, and then we have a discussion for maybe almost that long again. And that's usually the really interesting part, because people come along with their relationship dilemmas, and, you know, I've sort of become almost an accidental sort of agony aunt / relationship therapist, you know, and with the audience and with, you know, our kind of collective knowledge of science and relationship psychology, we try and kind of work out how to solve these dilemmas.
Do you think that maybe some of these problems might be going, because it sort of ties into a lot, I'm not going to call them problems, sorry, I called it a problem.
No.
I didn't mean it. Do you think some of these...
Some of these ways
of going about relationships might be also sort of economically focused. And I'm just thinking that people are waiting later if they are going to end up in a marriage, however that marriage may look, whether it be one where you see other partners or whether you're faithful to your own to your primary partner, they're generally doing it later. So they're generally a little bit older because there's less societal pressure, certainly in many parts of Britain, to get married so young. So older people know a little bit more about who they are.
For those of us that are LGBT, of course, we couldn't get married until
quite
recently.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely right, yeah.
So do you think maybe that might have something to do with it as well, that people are now, you know, they know themselves better and they're more prepared to try different relationships, whether it be within a marriage or...
Or do you think it's just because we're more open to ideas with the way society's kind of, you know, grown and changed?
So is it the money or the ideas?
Well,
I think, tough questions here.
I think there were some really interesting discussions and debates, you know, within the LGBT community when, of course, we got marriage and whether, you know, in some ways, what was it even a good thing? You know, obviously, of course, it's great to be equal and have equal rights. But in some senses, you know, I know many gay people who felt that there was some kind of sense of loss of, you know, some of the kind of collective unity we had as a big community before.
Well, there is efforts now to kind of drive that back, isn't it? So that we don't lose that kind of culture and that sense of family and community that we've had, as much as it's kind of more acceptable to be gay now, and you know, it's very much kind of like the norm. That's not quite the word I mean, but you know what I mean.
I suppose the question is does the fact that we can get married and sort of break into kind of the sort of nuclear family units kind of necessarily mean a breaking down of that wider community and looking at the idea of family in a different way? And, you know, we have seen so many gay venues in London, and I'm sure it's happening in Bristol as well.
Exactly the same here.
Down.
So, yeah. Well, you're here. You're here on the 11th of June, aren't you? At the Exchange,
the 11th
I believe.
Of June, yes. So
and
it'll be a kind of funny talk with a bit of kind of spoofy sex research history and some stats and information and provocative ideas and questions and yeah, it's all done with a bit of a sense of fun. And the most interesting bit is when I reveal the results to the survey, what counts as cheating, and we kind of find out how many, what people voted for and will vote in the region as well, and what we think.
Cool. Well,
so
listen,
get a discussion going.
It's been absolutely lovely to catch up with you. I'm sorry it's so short.
Of course.
But we must get you in on the show at some point, because after
no
8 years I don't
well,
think we've managed to do that yet. So
no worries. Well, it is Monogamy Dead, and the talk is on Monday evening at Exchange Bristol at 7:30.
Cool. And I'll tell you what we'll do, as we always do, we'll make sure we put all the links up to stuff, so we'll put all up where you can get the book and more information about the gig at the Exchange. So, but listen, it's been lovely catching up with you, and best of luck with we hope you love Bristol as well, so stay in touch. We'll get you in on the show.
Shout-out podcast.
That's a Havana. That's by Camila Cabello. Again, I thought a summery one, you know. It's a bit kind of fun, summery. No.
Yeah.
It's not no.
I like it.
It's okay.
Oh, yeah. High praise indeed from the high priestess of
80s
cool
disco.
Music. Well,
handbags and high heels.
She's my music guru. I don't know what you're saying. Yeah.
Anyway, we've got Mitch.
Mitch is like, no.
One of them. Just one of them.
Okay.
I have many.
Okay. Can we get some news now?
You can.
We can. Marvellous.
You can.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 31st of May.
The Welsh Assembly has debated its links with homophobic countries as part of a discussion that took place to mark International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia recently. The proceedings were recorded by the BBC Parliament channel and transmitted this weekend. Aelod Seneddol Adam Price addressed the Assembly as one of the first Plaid Cymru members to be out as gay or lesbian, speaking of his support for the Welsh Nationalist Party's LGBT campaign group called Plaid Pride. Mr. Price raised the issue of the Welsh government's links with the state of Qatar in the Persian Gulf and its highly problematic LGBT human rights record. The Leader of the House agreed with Mr. Price that the government of Wales should be more circumspect in its dealings with other states. Adam Price is a seasoned gay campaigner and also has campaigned for the Welsh language movement and for the right of conscientious objectors to have their taxes diverted into non-military affairs. Meanwhile, BBC Parliament provides round-the-clock coverage of the workings of Westminster, Abbaye Cardiff, Holyrood and Strasbourg, and airs a range of political programming. It's on Freeview Channel 232 and all other digital platforms.
Mature Times, a national free newspaper for the over 50s, is giving away free tickets to see An Ideal Husband, one of the most respected plays by 19th century pioneer and gay visionary Oscar Wilde. The play is running at the Vaudeville Theatre and then will move on to the Theatre Royal in Bath, and tells the story of an ambitious government minister, Sir Robert Chiltern, and how his sordid past catches up with him. In today's political climate, it's still as hilarious as ever, perhaps more so. Visit maturetimes.co.uk for details of how to enter.
With new regulations for the care and processing of data newly enforced, Stonewall have written to their supporters asking for them to update their contact details and ensuring that they still want to receive the LGBT campaigning charity's bulletins. If you are on the Stonewall mailing list, be sure to send your preferences back in the return envelope provided. Every supporter is greatly appreciated in the global struggle for gay and trans freedom.
Several HIV activists and bloggers have urged LGBTQ people and their allies to make a conscious effort to support the forthcoming demonstration and rally to mark the 70th anniversary of the creation of the National Health Service. Initiated by the Attlee government in the face of tremendous opposition by doctors, the NHS was part of the post-war settlement in which the key provision of social services would be taken on by the state so as the hardships of the 1930s would never reoccur. The national demonstration on June the 30th brings together trade unions, health activists, political parties and NHS staff themselves to make the case for a well-funded public health system. HIV groups have noted that the treatment of HIV has been very different in the UK than in the United States, where the lack of national healthcare meant incredible deprivations suffered by the gay, black and Latino communities, who were most impacted by the health crisis.
The broadcasting regulator Ofcom have announced a further 8 community radio stations have been licensed for the northeast of England and will be coming on the air over the next 2 years. There were no more specific LGBT franchises granted, but we know that Leeds Dance Music Radio has been amongst those groups who have been licensed to start broadcasting in 2020. The new station will feature electronic dance music, a genre we know is very popular with young LGBTQ people, and its remit will be to work with youth of all backgrounds to make and promote their music. The station's frequency for Leeds has yet to be announced.
Nick Clark, writing in the neo-Trotskyist weekly newspaper, Socialist Worker, says that the winning of the Eurovision Song Contest by Israel is a disaster for human rights. He says, for Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, Eurovision winner Netta Barzilia is the apartheid state's greatest ambassador. For Israeli politics, her victory was a great way to celebrate decades of violence, theft and occupation against Palestinians. Israeli centre-left politician Merav Mikhaeli thanked Barzilai, not just for bringing the Eurovision to Jerusalem, but also for her feminism. Barzilai thanked people for voting to celebrate diversity and challenge stereotypes. It was a strange claim for a performance that featured dodgy stereotypes of Japanese people, Mr. Clark claims.
For these news stories and more, check out our excellent website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Mitch Graham McMorrow
and Terry Starr.
Shoutout News, national and international LGBT news for you.
Oh my God, there were some tongue twisters in there for you, weren't there?
Oh, there certainly was, especially the Israeli Prime Minister's name.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
There you go, a bit of steps there.
Like being 25 again.
Yeah.
I like Roosters that one. On West Street. Do you remember Roosters?
Yeah. And that's called Scared of the Dark. And that is a remix. That's a Seventh Heaven radio edit.
Unmistakably Seventh Heaven.
Yeah, you can tell when it's Seventh Heaven. Yeah. They're quite good remixes, aren't they?
Yeah, very good.
So now this is the section of the show where we take a news story or two that you've submitted to us. And we talk about it in a bit more depth. And this week we're talking about what's been going on over in Ireland, aren't we?
Republic of Ireland.
Before we start discussing it, do you want to? I mean, I know most people have seen the news, but not all will. Do you want to recap what's happened and what we're about to talk about for us?
Okay. Yes, of course. Well, people of the Republic of Ireland, which of course is the 26 southern counties of Ireland, not Northern Ireland, and we'll get onto that later if we have the time, have voted to repeal an amendment to their constitution. Now, abortion was already illegal in Ireland. It's a very Catholic country, and ever since its independence, abortion has been illegal. But in 1983, under the influence of some quite conservative, should we say, right-wing organisations, a clause was added, an amendment was added to the actual constitution of the country to say that a fetus or an unborn child, depending on your point of view, has an equal right to life as the mother. And as a result of this amendment, any further law reform on the issue of abortion was not possible in the Republic. So what the Fianna Fáil, I think, is the current ruling party in the Republic of Ireland, and their Taoiseach, who's the Prime Minister, did was to put it to the people, especially after there's so many indicators that Ireland is changing as a country. It's got lots of different viewpoints. They've introduced same-sex marriage again. That had to be a change in the constitution to allow that. So what they did last Friday is voted on whether to repeal this Eighth Amendment to the Constitution, which gave the fetus equal status to the mother. And
I thought that was
repealed.
In reality, in real terms, what that meant was victims of rape or incest and women with crisis, in crisis pregnancies, had to travel and had to travel alone without the support of their family and make these awful decisions and without the support of their country or their family as well. So they had to be on their own, perhaps have stays, for a week or so in a hospital in the UK and then travel back, and all that time, they would have to, be on their own with that decision.
And one of the cases, what really kicked this off, was there not an incident in about 2012 of a dentist, and she had I'm kind of remembering off the top of my head here, but she had a very serious pregnancy-related issue, and the hospital staff put off treating her for so long, and the treatment she required was a termination in order to work, and they put it off for so long that she actually died as a result of it.
Yes.
And that was actually one of the things, along with the many, many, many hundreds and thousands of women who had to travel. That kind of broke the dam, didn't it, a bit?
Yeah. It did, yeah.
So for comparison, do we know what is the law here in England? On abortion.
Terminations are legal up to a certain time, I think. Is it 28 weeks?
Yes,
it's
up to 28
weeks.
26 weeks,
sorry.
Do you know one of the reasons given in the media when they were obviously out interviewing the people who, after they'd voted, they were actually saying that it was because of the country's history, and it was a backlash against the Catholic Church because of all the horrible things that were done, not necessarily in the name of that church, sometimes, as in...
You mean that's why they brought in the law in the first place?
No, what I'm saying is that there's a backlash against the Catholic Church. This is what the people were saying. When they were taken off to schools in run by nuns, and they were really badly treated and beaten, the Catholic Church
unmarried mothers weren't treated very nicely, were they?
No,
the babies were taken away.
Yeah, and then mothers themselves were sent away as well, very often imprisoned.
And the babies were often sold to Americans, a lot of Americans.
So this is the backlash that they were saying.
It's part of a very long, if you look at the long kind of sweep Irish history, the Catholic Church has been declining in influence over the last 30 to 40 years, because of things such as clerical abuse of young children and because of the abuse of women and, the sort of baby factories that were going on in the 1950s and 60s. And, I mean, homosexuality was decriminalised in 1993. I know we're going slightly off subject, but I believe the night that the Doyle debated whether they should legalise homosexual relations for both men and women, a Catholic priest actually had a heart attack in a gay sauna in Dublin, and another priest was on hand to issue the last rites to him. That's how bizarre the situation had become, and how it had blown open.
It's also worth bearing in mind that yes, you're right. There is this the growing dissatisfaction and moving away from the Catholic Church. But also, if you think of it the other way, this is just Ireland coming into line with every single other developed nation in the Western world.
With the exception of Northern Ireland at the moment.
Yes.
Which hasn't even got equal marriage yet, has it?
No.
Did I see as part of the campaigning, those that were against this repeal?
Yes.
I'm sure I read somewhere about them jumping on the LGBT bandwagon.
Well, yes. I mean, the Electoral Commission in Ireland was keeping an eye on adverts from both sides of the campaign, but there were some that have been very heavily criticised. One of them is there was a picture put about by the anti-abortion Save the Eighth group, which showed a fireman rescuing a baby from a burning building with the slogan "Men protect lives, vote no and save babies from abortion." Very, very heavily criticised. But also on the LGBT side, now obviously, as you can imagine, many of the groups that were funding the anti-abortion side are not known for their welcoming nature towards LGBT rights, because it's a sort of parallel issue, if you like, of sort of autonomy over one's own body. But they actually did put a poster up with a picture of a fetus. I did see it online, actually. A picture of a fetus with rainbow stripes through it, saying, if your child was gay, would you abort it? So vote no on repeal and things like that. So yeah, they were trying to play the gay card, which is very, very unusual. And again, that was really heavily criticised. Very criticised, I think. Although, I mean, you know, it is worth noting, you know, I mean, when we talk about the wider LGBT community, there are groups in the United States of LGBT activists who are anti-abortion or pro-life, as they prefer to put it, PLAGAL, which stands for the Pro-Life Alliance of Gays and Lesbians, and another group called Feminists for Life. They do exist, so there is, you know, it's a minority voice within the community, but you know, that does exist. But we're getting off the subject of Ireland. You mentioned Northern Ireland. Now, they don't need to have a constitutional repeal of any clause because they're part of the UK. So in theory, and now Arlene Foster, who is the DUP leader, and the DUP is the largest single party in Northern Ireland, she said it's an issue for Stormont, which is the Northern Ireland Assembly. But of course, that hasn't been meeting since January 2017. I think we were talking in the Green Room. They fell out, the two main parties, which are the DUP and Sinn Féin, fell out over something to do with wind farms. It was something to do with renewable energy.
It was alleged corruption, I think. They were accusing Arlene Foster of corruption involved in the wind farms.
Off the top of my head, an awful lot of money seemed to be flowing out of the system, out of the government coffers.
So since then, they haven't actually had a working assembly. So in theory, Northern Ireland is being operated by Westminster, by the Westminster Parliament. Now, of course, at Westminster, the Conservatives are the largest party, but they rely on the DUP it's a confidence and supply arrangement, that's it, which gets bills of parliament through with the Conservatives using DUP votes. And as a result of that, Theresa May's kind of like,
and the billion pound offer which is got that benefits just a little, Northern Ireland just a so little. Yeah. But yeah,
back pocket change.
It was just out and out bribe.
Yeah.
Out and out bribe.
It was a bribe for votes.
Yeah. So Theresa May actually did, in fairness to her, say it was a great step forward for women. It was the democratic voice of the people of the Republic of Ireland have spoken. But she has stopped short of saying we're going to legislate for Northern Ireland.
So she's not that interested in the democratic voice of her own people who happen to be living in another part of the country.
It's interesting you say that, actually, because Sky News, I was watching that on the day after as the results were coming in. And they went to Belfast and they spoke to a lot of people, a lot of women, but some men as well. But everyone they spoke to said it really has to happen here next because too many women are suffering. And I thought that was quite significant. They couldn't find a single person to say, I'm opposed to the repeal of the law in Northern Ireland.
There's a demonstration, isn't there, as well, by the Abortion Rights UK backing of other campaign groups on June the 5th. In Parliament Square, which I think 5:30 is now for Northern Ireland. So I think that's
next
that
Tuesday.
Some quite famous people got involved in the whole thing, didn't they? Sue Perkins, Stephen Fry, they both voiced their opinions,
and lots of Irish celebrities. I mean, the Keep the Eighth side were complaining on RTE, which is the state broadcaster in the Republic. They were on RTE Radio. I was listening to it last week, and they were like, all the celebrities have come out in favour of repealing the Eighth. You know, everyone, like, you know, U2 and all the pop stars and all the writers and so on. So there was a real kind of, you know, one thing I was going to ask you is, you know, do we think it's a real youth quake, you know, in Ireland? You know, people travelling back to
lots
vote.
Lots of young people travelling back.
Travelling back to vote.
Yeah, well, and what I find interesting is for this and also the one on legalising gay marriage, they had to take it out of the hands of the politicians and put it in a vote to the people to get it anywhere. And it kind of makes you wonder just how much in step everybody is. You know, I mean, it was great that the Doyle who decided to put it to the referendum in the first place, but that had to be done, and then the people just stepped up and went, yes, this is absolutely what we wanted. I was wondering how much in touch
when he called marriage passed in Ireland. It was like the biggest Irish party ever, wasn't it? Everywhere we're celebrating. It was fantastic.
So I think it just shows, you know, and same with Northern Ireland as well. You know, they're saying not a person on the street was against it, and yet it's still locked up with the politicians and the deals that they've got going, and their vested interests, and their, you know, and you know, Northern Ireland as well, very conservative and religiously influenced country.
So we don't think it's going to affect Northern Ireland for a while yet, then?
Well, for a while, it just doesn't look like it.
I mean, there's no general election due till 2022, and if this confidence and supply arrangement between the DUP keeps the Conservatives in power in Westminster, then there probably will be stalemate, at least until the next general election. And then if the Tories or Labour have an overall majority, then they can impose a settlement on Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
But and it also depends, of course, whether Sinn Féin and the DUP start to work together again and the Stormont Assembly gets going.
Didn't they use some right of veto to stop same-sex marriage in Northern Ireland, didn't they? It was voted for, and then at the last minute one of the parties used a particular right to say we're not going to pass that.
I'm not sure. If it was probably the DUP, which is the only party at Westminster, as well as being the only party at Westminster that considers itself anti-abortion or pro-life, as they prefer to put it, it's also the only party at Westminster that is opposed to equal marriage. Everybody else, the Greens, Welsh, Scots Nationalists,
well, as you
Tories,
call them,
Labour.
The radical weekly newspaper, the Socialist Worker, this week called the DUP, let me quote, racist, homophobic and anti-abortion bigots.
They did. They did.
But so it's also
that's
saying,
one way of describing
isn't
perhaps.
It also saying something like Theresa May doesn't want the boat being rocked, really, so she's not going to make any kind of decisions.
Well, no, her
even though she said she's saying she supports
also,
perhaps,
you know,
the Republic's decision.
But that's also Europe to worry about.
Yeah,
all,
well, and thinking about Brexit in Europe, she has got a big problem brewing on the Irish, the Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland border there as well.
Yes,
so there's a lot of crazy stuff going
interesting
down.
Interesting stuff.
All kinds of things.
Well, there's some more statistics. They reckon if there's another Brexit vote, Sue, after they're supposed to do the deal, so maybe next year sometime, there's 1.3 million new people that are able to vote, and 1.4 million people that have died of old age, and they all voted to exit. So we could win the vote, yes. In another year, it could tip.
Well, whatever your thoughts, let us know. Do get in contact with us. Studio at shoutoutradio.lgbt. But that is it for this week. Don't forget, My Five is back next week. If you have a story you could tell us in 5 minutes, do get in touch with us.
Head to shoutoutradio.lgbt and click on the Contact Us link.
Next week, we're going to be talking about getting older when you're LGBT+. Plus, something Steph knows all about. So, bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.